Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey everybody, welcome to another new episode of Undying Light. I'm your host, Pastor Alex, and we are back with you this week as we are continuing our series through social media and the you know, just utter craziness that it demonstrates and brings and the chaos that it can cause within the theological circles that we run in. And oftentimes the problems that amount from social media. And so I've talked about my story a little bit on this little series and talked about some of the struggles and stresses that have come. And one of the things that we're really going to focus on today primarily is talking about accounts that portray a teaching platform without any sort of qualifications and or ones that often are focused on causing division. And there's no unity within these accounts for, you know, other beliefs and other faith walks. There's no, you know, understanding or desire to have unity. It is, if you don't believe what I believe, then you're cut off and you're out the door type thing. So we're going to focus on that. We'll talk a little bit about how, you know, how these accounts can affect the masses by, you know, negatively. And we're going to also look at what you should be looking for when it comes to engaging or following pages on social media. Now, you may not agree with everything I say, and that's totally fine. You may find what I have to say on this to probably be slightly controversial. That's fine. You may fully agree with me, and that's fine. You know, I'm not looking to be speaking into an echo chamber, or I'm not looking for 500 yes men that are going to always agree with everything I say and or teach. What I'm looking for is to help shed light on what I see as to be a problem on social media in hopes that the discerning Christians who listen to this show and can share this show will also see the problems that social media is bringing and help us to discern what and who should we follow in order to, you know, to have good support and hopes that we can find unity. Maybe, and find good platforms where people can actually properly teach doctrine. And what I'm finding is, you know, we're essentially handing the reins to people who have never been to seminary. They don't have any formal training. They've never sat under the tutorship of a pastor or a deacon or somebody with authority in the church. They've not gone through any internships. They've never done and performed funerals. They've never done counseling sessions. They've never done any of that sort of thing. They just simply grabbed an Instagram page, put up a fancy name, and started sharing content. Now, I remember years ago when I was starting my journey to becoming a pastor, and I was examining seminaries long before I even started seminary school. I remember my father-in-law made a comment to me one night as we were discussing, you know, this kind of venture into becoming a pastor. And he said, you know, Alex, it's much more than just doing sermons on Sundays. And I said, yes, I understand. I know that you are right. I said, there's much more to it. It's you know, counseling. It's doing funerals. It's doing weddings. It's holding confirmation. It's working with the youth. It's doing all of these things. And it's being a shoulder for people to cry on. It's being an ear for people to listen, a place where people can come and confess their darkest of sins, and a place where they will not receive judgment, but will receive absolution. And what we're finding, and what I'm at least finding, is a lot of these pages have not gone through the gauntlet of actually being in a ministry. Now, I have a friend who's a Catholic, and I'm deeply, deeply good friends with this man. And I don't know if that's even a phrase. I am great friends with this person. And he knows who he is, so you know who you are, buddy. And him and I have gone through a whole, you know, kind of growth process over the years together. And he shared a podcast a couple weeks ago with me, and I thought this was quite profound because it had a lot in common with this series. And the lady on there was talking about how we should be very careful of following pages on social media that are teaching platforms that do not actually physically have a real life ministry, where that person is not participating in the local church and actually cultivating their own ministry. We should not be taking advice from them. We should be very discernful in how these pages are actually operating, so much to the fact that if they do not demonstrate fruit of having a local ministry, then we should not be taking their advice. And I thought that was quite profound. And that's kind of a blunt and brutal statement, because how do you discern or decipher who's teaching versus who's giving advice versus just sharing content simply? And so I'm going to hopefully help walk us through some of those platforms today. And I think there's a very distinct measure between providing insight, you know, perhaps sharing their advice, sharing their journey and what's helped them and how they can help others in the similar process or situation, versus actually teaching and causing division by their teaching. And then we're also going to look at and consider just simply sharing, you know, Bible verses or maybe quotes and things like that. And I you know, there's plenty of examples. There's hundreds and thousands of accounts that fall into each of these categories, and a lot of them are overlapping. And so we have to be discernful and rightfully divide these into proper categories. And not, you know, because not every account is going to always teach. Not every account is simply just going to share, you know, Bible verses or quotes. And not every account is going to just simply provide advice. There's often going to be overlap. But what we need to figure out is what is the thing that they strongly lean to of those three categories. And so we're going to talk. I've got a couple examples for people on social media that we're going to kind of walk through. Again, I'm not going to give any names because it's not my place to tell you who you should and should not follow, but I want to help you discern certain situations. I will give one name only because we've talked about it on the show. He's been a guest on the show, and we need to address an issue that happened a couple years ago. And I just want to make sure that we, you know, highlight something like that because of the rise to fame, if you would, the quickness that it all took place, and how we can hopefully you know be vigilant and utilize that example when looking at other people. So the first account or person we're going to talk about, I think many of you know, is Jason. He ran a page, Daily Reformation, and he ran it for a number of years. When we were in the infancy of this show, kind of back when everything was really starting out, and the platforms, if you would, the kind of, how do I want to describe it? Like the early years of social media influencers for the Christian community. And you know, a lot of us were kind of just getting into the mix of things. He was one that came just a little bit later, after like Paul and Nick and I and a couple others were somewhat established, and he rose real quick, gathered a lot of followers. I think he went from like a couple hundred to like 10,000 to 15 to 20,000 really quick. And he was a very smart man. He was a young high schooler, I think he was just graduating high school, going into college or right around that time period. Super, super intelligent. I mean, he could just pick up and discuss things. He had, I would venture to say the man had close to a photographic memory. He just knew so much about scripture and could recite it so easily. And I'm like, that's just profound. The amazement always got me. And the conversations we had when he was a guest on the show were amazing. He was so keen and spot on. He could answer so many questions. And obviously, he drifted to Calvinism, as most of us did in the early stages of this kind of, you know, genre, if you would, or this, you know, new endeavor. And so he was a Calvinist right alongside us, and he exhibited, you know, great intelligence. And then it was just, you know, things just kind of went on. And he ran his page for a long time. I think he got up to, you know, somewhere in the 40,000 plus follower count. And then he started to post some things that were a little weird, a little weary. And, you know, now, mind you, he wasn't going to seminary. He had no formal education. He had no teachings or anything like that. I want to say he was a part of a local Calvinist church. But beyond that, he was not in any sort of mentorship or anything like that. And so he was starting to drift. He was sharing content that was just a little unusual. And more what it was it came from a universalist approach that all people would be saved. And then it just seemed like overnight the light switch flipped, and he went from full Calvinist, fire-breathing, tulip-believing Calvinist to a universalist, and would argue that the church fathers actually were teaching this, and would cherry pick quotes that appeared it to be such, and then would cherry pick scripture to do so and support his way. And there were numerous debates and conversations between Nick and him, and me and him, and Paul and him, and people were, you know, trying to engage him on social media, and he finally just kind of secluded himself. And just, you know, after a whole long while, just, I think he's really kind of disappeared. I haven't seen him. I don't follow his page anymore. I've stopped following it for a long time. But this is a good example of somebody who was very, very intelligent, and then was swayed by the winds of the world, and then started producing, content that has been deemed heretical by the church. And, you know, when you don't have a foundation in teaching or governance, if you don't have anybody to help keep you in step, these low-hanging fruits of heresies can be easy to pick up and to move on. And so if you are not following pages that, you know, have such a good foundation, then you're going to have issues potentially with content that they produce. And I'm not saying that every page out there that isn't a pastor or isn't a theologian or anything like that is bad. What I'm getting at is there's the potential that, you know, they could sway away. And we've already talked about people who have authority can be unqualified. You know, look at all the prosperity, Word of Faith, and healing ministries out there. These guys have quote-unquote degrees. Some of them have actually gone to real seminaries, and they forsake those degrees and that knowledge that they were taught, and have now shifted to, you know, what makes money easier and how they can essentially pad their pocketbooks. And the same thing is done for these accounts that, you know, have a great following on social media. They are the opposite. They don't have those degrees and those teachings and those, you know, kind of foundations to build from. They just read some books and watched some YouTube videos, and now they've gotten a massive of following, and at some point they've been influenced somewhere and they drift away. So my urging is not to say that every account out there is bad if you're in either side, right? Because if you have a degree, you can still be unqualified. If you don't have a degree, you can be unqualified. But likewise, if you have a degree, you can be. And if you don't have a degree, you can still be qualified to teach. It just, a lot of it depends on your niche. So as a Lutheran, we'll use this as an example. If I didn't have a degree, but I was teaching from the Book of Concord And I was sharing what Luther said and taught and what the Lutheran confessions say and teach, and quotes from Lutheran theologians and quotes from the Bible, and just really kind of highlighting these things, then that's fine. If you're a Baptist and you're taking stuff from the 1689 Baptist Confession and you are sharing that content and sharing, you know, Baptist preachers and quotes like that, that's fine. If you're, you know, a Presbyterian and you're taking from the Westminster, if you're a Catholic and you're going through the Catholic Church and you're sharing quotes from, you know, from past priests and, you know, the confessions and the Catholic catechism and all that, then that's fine. But when it becomes an issue is when you, you know, start to share things that kind of bleed outside of your niche. So if I was a Baptist and I start sharing, you know, Catholic or Orthodoxy type teachings, people are going to probably raise questions. And now, I mean, personally, if you were a Baptist sharing that content, I would be kind of intrigued to see where you would be going, because there's good potential that you might find, you know, more of an apostolic holding to the beliefs. I personally think that the Baptists have some flaws in how they understand the sacraments and some of those functions. And I don't think that, you know, that it's, you know, you're not a heretic or you're not a brother or sister in Christ if you're Baptist by any means. I would deem you to be that, but I'm intrigued to see how that will end up. But this is what I'm getting at, is the problem with social media platforms is people can sway across many different, you know, viewpoints of theology without really having any sort of, you know, kind of guidance. Now, like I've talked about my story, I came out of the chute as a Calvinist, and but my roots were in the Lutheran church. I came back as a Calvinist. It was easy, low-hanging fruit to help me understand Scripture. And then as I started my seminary journey, I was under the tutelage and guidance of my professors and started reading Orthodoxy Lutheran and Confessional Lutheran teachings, and I came, you know, full circle back to my roots. And I've seen people do that. I, you know, my buddy was a Catholic by birth, raised in the Catholic Church, left the church, came back as a Calvinist, drifted into the Lutheran faith, the Orthodox faith, and then came back to a Catholic faith. I know many people who are Catholic who have swept around the Protestant circles and have come back to the Catholicistic movement. I know people who were Catholic and have, you know, moved from that and become Protestants. It happens. That's not a bad thing. You know, if you are being, you know, if you are being led, and if you think that you're being led by the Spirit and you are finding your home and understanding of Scripture in that particular camp, then who's to argue with you? But when you have people who flip-flop like a fish out of water, then the red, you know, the red sirens and the alerts start to fire up. The red flags go up. It's like, okay, what's truly happening here? And is this something that's going to lead to problems, or is he just, you know, finding his own rhythm, or she finding their own rhythm? And I think with Jason, the red flags were sharing the universalic position, and then he would double down on that universal position, and he would go to battle against us with that in the back of his mind. So what I'm getting at with this, you know, kind of the content of the show is, how are we being, you know, discernful when it comes to that type of content? And the last time I looked, I mean, I'd venture to say he's probably still has a number of followers on his page. And I'm going to pull it up. Yeah, so he's still got 25,000 followers on his page, but his last post was January of 2023. And it was 5 biblical themes supporting the doctrine of universal salvation. And he's turned off comments on it so nobody can talk about it. And it's restorative justification, or judgment, I'm sorry, covenant expansion, temporary wrath, surprising mercy, universal fatherhood. And so he's doubled down. And, you know, like I said, he still has 25,500 followers. And it really is a sad movement when you go from producing really good content, because if you always got, and he's removed a bunch of his pages because now everything is focused on, mostly on the universalistic position. But if you go to, you know, how he was years back, I mean, he had really, really good content. And now he's shifted, if you would, to this, you know, position. But he hasn't been on his page and it's not been active for quite some time. And so it's, you know, he kind of has gone off and hopefully he's finding his footing in the real world and not on social media. I also advocate for this too, that if you're getting all of your theology from social media, you're doing church wrong. Social media is like a very, very basic supplement. I wouldn't even, like, if, you know, I'm in the fitness world, I love lifting weights and I love doing all that stuff. You know, I take supplements to help. I drink whey protein and all that. I wouldn't even put social media in that category of like whey protein in the terms of a supplement. I wouldn't even consider it a protein bar. It would be like, you know, like a Gatorade. You know, you don't want to drink it, but it's there if you need it in a pinch. I mean, that's how I would compare social media to you know, the church, if you would. It's not a good, wholesome place for theology. It's not a good, wholesome place to teach. Now, people have made good platform uses or use out of the good the platform and make good uses. Somebody like Chad Bird and Flame do wonderful jobs with teaching on their platforms, but they also expand through Facebook and social media, through TikTok, or nah, I don't think he's on TikTok, Facebook, X, and YouTube. And he uses his platform to teach through scripture, and that's wonderful. And very rarely you'll get people that hate and leave ridiculous comments, and sometimes he'll engage and try to like brighten the room a little bit, but he by and large doesn't engage in probably 80% of the comments. And you know, if it's a point to which he can correct or use as a teaching moment to help other people understand, they'll do that. Flame and Chad both have wonderful ways to do that. And I say that they are both extremely qualified in their positions to use the platform to teach from. And I have high levels of respect. Obviously, they've both been on this show, and I hope in the future they can both be on the show again. I enjoy having conversations with them. They're both highly intelligent individuals, and I think that's wonderful, you know. But when it comes to, like, Instagram, and this is, you know, the kind of the target platform we're still working on, and we're going to kind of drift over to some of the other platforms after this show. But when it comes to Instagram, by and large, it's a, you know, a lot of things used to be the post pictures, right? That's what Instagram was originally about, was picture posting, and then you put a caption. And it used to be that you can kind of figure out, you know, whether somebody's got a certain theological perspective, because you can put a quote of a Bible and read their caption and be like, oh, that doesn't seem quite right, or that seems a little off, or yeah, you know, I agree with it. And then it started moving towards these videos, and now everything's all about reels. And so everything's these 30, 60, and 90 second reels. And so you get this little clip of time that you can share about X, Y, and Z. And you can also share larger videos. That's not, you know, that's not a forbidden thing on the platform. But by and large, most people won't watch videos that are 10 minutes long or an hour long or anything like that. So, and that's really just the fault of social media nowadays, that the attention span of mankind is 10 seconds to 30 seconds. And I'm shocked people even listen to this show if they don't only listen to it for a few minutes. But, you know, that's why I try to keep it 30 minutes and less, because we cannot deal with long content anymore. And so that's, I think, has caused issues, if you would, into this teaching platform, and has allowed a lot of these false teachers and or unqualified teachers to permeate the platform and to, you know, regurgitate their terrible teachings. So I have an account that I'm going to talk about. Again, I'm not going to name his name. If you know who he is, then you know what's happened. But I won't give his name up. But what is shocking is kind of the flip-floppy, you know, fish out of the water that I've talked about. And he was a fire-breathing Calvinist, and he had, you know, a number of followers. His page currently has 31,000 followers. he went on break and came back, I believe, as a Orthodox teacher. If I look at some of these posts, it has kind of that drifty Orthodox type feel to it. And he uses a lot of the early church father quotes, you know, very, what do I want to say? It's a, they're the typical low hanging fruit that everybody sees and has read. So he came back as that, but then it was, I think it was fairly short lived. And then he kind of drifted pretty quick over to Catholicism. And again, I'm not opposed to that because I have a lot of friends who are Catholic. In fact, you know, as a Lutheran, we are closely in tune with the Catholic faith. There are differences, but we have a lot in common with Catholics. And so I was like, yeah, you know, that's an interesting journey this guy's gone on. And, you know, I'm for people finding their home in theology. If you want to call yourself a confessional Baptist and you're a 1689, you know, fire-breathing, tulip-eating Calvinist, hey, great. You know, but as long as we can, you know, be brothers and sisters in Christ and we can agree upon the finer things, great. And, you know, like the Baptist preacher here in town, I wouldn't say he's a Calvinist per se, but he's pretty close to it. And we still have great conversations, even though we disagree on, you know, the fundamentals of the sacraments and baptism, things like that. We still have good conversations, and that's great. I call him a brother in Christ. I have many people like that I know that I would have great conversations with. And even though we disagree on certain facets, we certainly have, you know, a good fundamental relationship. You know, Paul and I don't agree on a lot of things, and yet I still consider him a brother in Christ. Nick and I don't agree on everything, but yet I consider him to be a brother in Christ. In fact, I consider them both to be great friends of mine, and I love having conversations with them. And in fact, I love to just sit there and be like, have you guys seen this whack pot of a post or this page that's gone off the deep end? And we just talk about it, and, you know, that's just the way we do things. And I have mad respect for him. And so what just absolutely flabbergasts me is, you know, I don't know. It's like, if I think back years ago, so like I said, I've run this page for 8 years, 9 years. And I look back at, you know, the developments of Corumdale life. You know, I used to be, I don't even remember the prior life names, if you would, but, in fact, I'm probably even going to get rid of Corumdale and just kind of go with Pastor Alex at some point. But if I look back at all of that and I kind of watch how my journey has gone, you know, I find my home in Reformed confessional Lutheran teaching, you know, Orthodoxy confessional Lutheran teaching. I find my home there, and I really only drifted out of the Calvinist circle to that. And then, you know, and I think Nick has, you know, kind of found his path, his place. And I don't, honestly, I probably couldn't even tell you what, I know he's a Baptist. I don't know exactly what he would, you know, classify himself as. But I know that many of those have found their homes. This show might be a little longer, actually, now that I'm getting to this, because I'm just ranting here and rambling. But, you know, a lot of that, we've gone through hardship. I mean, I remember him texting and calling when we were experiencing some, you know, the three of us went through some hard times together, and we had some fights, and we dug in trenches against each other, and we had hard conversations to work through some of the doctrinal differences that we were all wrestling with. And I think that's what makes people healthier, even if we come out the other end not agreeing. But when you cannot have these conversations with people, when conversation ends, division begins. And I'm finding that this particular individual who I'm talking about on this particular page that I will not name, this is his journey, and it is causing division left and right. So as a Catholic, he's posting quotes from like St. Augustine, and then he posts some stuff about Orthodoxy. And that's why I say it's just kind of like a weird back and forth. He really just didn't quite seem to have his footing, because he has this, you know, like one arm in the Catholic faith and one arm in the Orthodox faith. But it's pretty obvious that he's left the Protestant group, and he's got, you know, some videos where he's debunking these prophets and stuff like that. And here's the thing. It's like, you know, he talks about it from authoritative position. Like, let's see what the Bible really has to say. And he actually uses these platforms to teach his followers. And when you've got 30 some thousand followers, you know, you're making an impact. You have influence. And so I was like, you know what? That's just his thing. I'm not going to sit here and pick fights with it because it's not my place. But after this particular post, it is become my place. And I'm going to, you know, essentially name him without naming him. And because I want to still respect the people, because again, I'm not out here to just pick shots and fights with people because I want to. I want to respect this, but I want to do this in a manner that which I find to be respectful. And I think having this platform and this open communication with you as a listener is a good way to do so. But he put a post out, and I don't know the name of the movie. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, but it depicts Martin Luther as this, like, this guy bowing down. And then he bows before a knight, and the knight is depicted as Jesus Christ, and Jesus starts beating this Martin Luther character, just ruthlessly beating him. And the quote just simply says, "Christ's KO Luther," or "Christ KOs Luther," with a little punchy face. And so I just said, that's a stupid post. It is. It's the stupidest post. Because here's the thing. And this was, I think, the first post he did that started to really cause division. And you read through these comments, and people are like, dude, this isn't what you should be doing. Even as a Catholic, you shouldn't be doing this. And his whole mantra was how Luther's a heretic, and Luther removed books from the Bible, which he didn't. And Luther did this, and he did that. And what's funny is he won't engage me on this platform. He will not engage. He'll send me DMs, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But he won't engage me in public because he knows I don't tolerate the elementary level of education he carries. Because if you read through some of these comments, it's just asinine to think that this man has the authority now to teach other people about something he knows nothing about. He makes a comment, yeah, and then he split the church and removed some of the books from Scripture because he didn't like them. Common prot L, essentially saying that the Protestants lost with this move. Well, look, you know, I know my Catholic buddy who listens to my show, him and I have some disagreements on the positioning of Luther, and both of him and I would agree. We hope that Luther, you know, repented and sought reconciliation at the end of his life for leaving the Catholic Church. But I think a lot of it, too, by reading Luther's history, it wasn't directly aimed entirely at Luther trying to leave the Catholic Church. Luther wanted to find a way to have conversation with the Catholic Church, and Luther wanted to find a means by which he could engage the Catholic Church in some of the things that he had problems with, and the Catholic Church wouldn't, you know, have anything to do with it. And then at the Diet of Worms of 1521, he's brought before, you know, the Catholic priests and all the magisterial leaders and the Pope and all that, and he's asked to recant. And a lot of, you know, modern depictions have him like standing there like this, you know, king of sorts, you know, like he's so powerful, you know, and he's talking about how I can't recant. I stand upon the word of God, and, you know, and he's, you know, he's not going to take any crap from anybody type, you know, persona. And if you really kind of read through the historical, you know, nature of that situation, Luther's very meek and very quiet and very humble. And he just simply says, I can't do this. I stand upon the word of God. And if the word of God is, you know, going to, you know, if that's what is called into question, then, you know, so be it. I stand upon the word of God. And he does so with a quiet and meek voice, not this like harrowing, you know, hero type persona. And he didn't set out to remove books from the Bible. He didn't set out to split the church. It just happened. And by the way, he didn't, by removing those books, it wasn't his call. He translates the Bible from Latin that the Catholic Church was preaching from into German, so the common German folk could read and have copies of the Bible. As the printing press became popular during his lifetime, and he was able to reproduce copies of the Bible for people in his area to have a copy of it. And so he's not removing books from the Bible. That's just a ridiculous accusation. And then again, this individual on this Instagram page continues to double down on this over and over and over again. And then he uses just ridiculous fallacies and, you know, sidewalls people with comments, you know, about situations that are not even in question, not even, they don't even have anything to do with it. And yet he just kind of regurgitates accusations that really have no place in the discussion. This individual comments, he says, if Luther gets this in heaven, then what do the child predator priests get? And he comments, good question. Go ask Protestant pastor Frank Houston, who raped little boys, and the Protestant apologist Ravi Zacharias, who sexually assaulted multiple women, right? So he's trying to flip the narrative back around. And I get it. The question is kind of generic and bland, you know, to a degree that it just shouldn't have been asked. But look, across all spectrums of the church, you're going to have people who are going to abuse their position. You're going to have people who fault and have issues, and you're going to find problems. Nobody's perfect. Everybody sins, and you're going to find problems within the church and outside of the church. But to dodge the question and just simply try and retract it into a different narrative to fit your viewpoint, you're doing a disservice to the people on your platform. And again, somebody else goes, this is cringe. Go read your Bible. And he says, I did. Now go read yours. it's like, come on. This whole post is just garbage. And from there on, I followed him for a little bit longer. I unfollowed him a couple months ago. Maybe, when was this post done here? If I can get a date, February 6th. So I think I unfollowed him like a week after. But looking at a lot of his quotes or posts since, a lot of it is, quoting church fathers and talking about, stuff like that. But then he's got this one that it's Catholicism versus Protestant denominations. It's a picture of Luke Skywalker in the most recent, the Mandalorian series. And the Catholic here is Luke Skywalker. And he enters the ship, the battle droids, and he's killing all of them. So it's Seventh-day Adventists, non-denominational, Pentecostal. He's killing them all. Methodists. Here come the Congregationalists. The Anglican, he's down. Oh, here comes the Baptist, dead. And he continues on, and there's the Presbyterian. They're gone. And Lutherans. Oh, yep, we got to kill the Lutherans. And the Reformed. And this stirs this huge problem, and he basically just comments Catholicism is better than Protestantism. And then he just got all these people trying to engage him and make comments, and really it just shows that he has no place within the greater understanding of the social media and teaching. Somebody says, bro, this is just dividing Christians and Catholics more. And in the end, we believe in Christ. No need to bicker between ourselves. And he just said, Catholics are Christians. Okay, great. Well, I know that. So this other person responds, I know that. But it causes divide. Different denominations just bicker and bicker. And we ought to be better about not infighting. See, this is a good conversation to have with him. And what does he do? And he says, well, who said anything about fighting? Your entire post does, dude. Your entire post shows that you are destroying the Protestant faith because you find yourself to be better than them. Your commentary says that you are better than them. And he's like, and then the other guy responds, not to be the bearer of obvious news or anything, but the post is quite literally Catholicism defeating Protestantism through fighting. And then this individual says, yep, more like destroying arguments. No. That's not the point. It is terrible. And he doubles down on it and continues to double down on it. And then he did this video, trying to be an apologist about this video. And this is the problem that social media has. Again, I can find a thousand examples about pages like this, the flip floppies. And it what breaks my heart is that they have so many thousands of people following them. And I think a lot of people follow for one of two reasons. Either A, they support everything they're doing, which is a good possibility, or B, they like the drama. They like the suspenseful drama that the page brings, because it's like, who's he going to pick a fight with this week, and what are the comment sections going to look like? And I'll be honest, the more I sit back in my time as a pastor, the more I realize that social media is noise. It is pure noise. Now, I respect like Chad Bird and all that, and I know Chad isn't a pastor. He's a theologian. He's not a pastor in a local church. He partakes in ministry in the local church, but he is not a pastor in a local church. He's a theologian. Flame, he's a musician and a theologian. Both of them have the ability to be on social media and to teach. But I'm finding less and less pastors actually taking the time to be on social media, because we have a real life flock to teach and to be with and to grow up with and to do life with. I could care less for the noise on social media when it comes to doing things with my flock, you know. And that's, for me, probably the biggest thing I can do is growing up as a pastor, you know, in these last few years, is to put away the noise on social media and to just use it as a means for monetary enjoyment here and there, momentary enjoyment, and look at it as a means, as a tool, but not as a means by education. You know, I have my education already completed. I have my master's in theology. I have a library behind me here in my office of theological books that I can read and continue to read and learn from. I have Logos Bible software on my computer that I have, you know, like 35,000 books that I'm accessible to. I can read books from every denominational view in the Christian faith: Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, Eastern, Catholicism, Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Anglican, Protestant, non-denominational, Baptist, Calvinist, you know, charismatic, even things that are not Christian by nature. I think there might even be some stuff in here from other faiths. There might even be Mormon. I don't know. I'd have to look. But they open the doors wide open because it's a great platform to utilize, to teach from. And, you know, as a Christian, you can use things that are not inherently Christian as a means by to be an apologist against, you know, like to teach why we do not believe the things that the Mormons and the Seventh-day Adventists and all of those guys believe. So I have my means by which I can continue to grow my education. In fact, I'm enrolled back in seminary in a certain context, so I can actually sit and listen to classwork and listen to lectures to continue to help me grow as a pastor. That is how you can determine who is qualified and who's not. And like I said, there's great pages out there that can, that can help provide insight. There's a lot of women who have, you know, female ministry pages, and a lot of guys follow them. I'm friends with a lot of them, and they teach things on how to be a housewife, how to be a strong biblical mother, and how to, you know, be a partner in the marriage and things like that. And they do wonderful things, and they share Bible verses and they talk about it. And I find those to be great. That's a fine platform and ministry to have. But when you have to discern between a ministry and a means by which you're helping people. Like, a ministry is more so like what a pastor would end up doing, like being the shepherd for a flock. And you have a teaching platform, and you're teaching people scripture and the meanings behind scripture, and you're teaching them church history, you're teaching them theology, things like that. And I find a lot of those pages don't mess with that kind of content. They are simply sharing things that are edifying and helpful to them and the people like them. That is the niche that they have, and that is great. And I find that people who share Bible verses, you know, like a daily Bible verse, you know, maybe a daily quote, things like that, share daily video, wonderful things to have in the ministry by and large. But when it comes to teaching and having this, this platform, if you would, to to act as a ministry, we have to be discerning. And yes, I harped on that page quite a bit for this show, but it's those types of pages that we have to be very cautious of when we see, you know, the dangers that social media brings, because this is what we're running into. And I said it in the, you know, pretty early in the show that we have to not, we have to be better Christians by not getting our theological basis from social media. We have to be far more discerning Christians than to use social media as a place to get our theology. Now, I would also argue that this particular person who I harped on here isn't using his page entirely as a teaching slash ministry page. What he's doing is causing division and showing that basically if you don't agree with him, then you are a heretic or a non-believer, or you will be cast into the lake of fire type position. And I find that to be an extremely dangerous position. You know, there's people out there that have pages that they teach content from, and they're not, you know, inherently qualified to do so. They utilize their personal experience, or maybe they've got a commentary or two that they used to teach from. Maybe they've read a couple books or graduated from YouTube University. And again, those are things that we have to be cognizant of and aware when it comes to seeing these posts. You know, they're up in reels. You know, you see a lot of people sharing, you know, the Bible, the verse of the day and what this means to me. And I've come across, you know, today's Bible verse is this, and here's a couple of my thoughts about it. And I think that's okay. But we just have to be understanding that, you know, we're not trying to receive a full theological, you know, understanding from this one verse, from this one person. You know, I can take any verse and talk about it for an hour. I could take any section of the Bible and preach sermons from it. But that doesn't mean that you should get your entire, you know, church feeding, if you would, from me, from social media. You need to go to a church and be fed. You need to be a part of a local ministry where you can be engaging with the saints in real life and not behind a screen. So I can rant on this for hours. It's just a topic that really is burning through me lately, and I'm finding more and more excuses to not be on social media in these coming weeks and months, and I just find myself more intrigued with things that I want to do with my life, and they don't include social media. And so I don't want to waste my time, you know, pursuing platforms and chasing things that, you know, that don't mean anything to me. So I'm really, like I said, really cognizant of who I follow. And if I'm coming across pages that I just don't agree with anymore, I'm usually unfollowing them. And it just shows that I want to not use my page for what I used to use it for. And I don't know. I don't know what the future of my Instagram page is going to be. I don't know what the future of this show, I know what this future of the show is going to be because I love having a podcast, but I don't know if I'm going to be on social media a whole lot longer entirely. Maybe I'll pop on and just use it intermittently, but beyond that, it's not the top thing in my, you know, desired bucket list right now. So, well, I've been ranting for a long time, so I'm going to let you guys out. It's the longest show I've probably done in well over a year or two here, but, I really wanted to hopefully start to flare up the red flags. And if you happen to, you know, come across something that, you know, is questionable, feel free to ask. You know, by all means, if you have a page that you're like, you know, I've been following this guy for a while, I'm not really quite certain how I feel about it. You know, I want to see, I want to get your insight. Feel free to DM me. I have no quarrels about that. I'll try to answer it as quick as I can, but shoot me a message, talk to me, and, you know, we can talk about what I see, you know, that's going on with whatever the question you may have. So before I let y'all go, something that just came through my feed, somebody sent me a message. This particular person sends me this page all the time, and I usually just give it a thumbs up or whatever. I never look at it, and I just so happen to glance at it right after I got done recording. I actually had the whole ending to this show already capped, and I had the music and everything in here. I had to cut all that out because I have to talk about this page. It's a ministry, and I'm going to name the name of the ministry. I'm not going to name this person. The name is The Way Ministries, the_way, W-A-Y, Ministries. So if you click on the website that's here, he's got 210 posts on his page. It brings you to, you know, an about type thing. And he talks about he's just a regular guy. He's married. He's got two kids. Great. God has given me the gift of pastor and teacher, and that's my privilege. I don't know where he pastors. I don't know anything about his doctrinal beliefs because he doesn't have an about page on here. There's nothing to discern in terms of what he believes. But here's kind of something to me that might be a little concerning. He says this: everything on thewayministries.net stems from two sources, the Bible and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. I do not study the work of theologians, nor do I Google anything. That's not to say that those are not useful methods, but I personally have chosen a purely scriptural approach to all subjects, a vanilla Christianity, if you will. I will do this so that I can bring you the most additive-free teaching possible. I am always happy to interact with you, answer questions, and pray for you. Feel free to reach out to me anytime. Thank you for visiting thewayministries.net. So obviously, you can go to that website and discern who this individual is. I don't know anything about him, but what is concerning is if he calls himself a pastor, but he doesn't have a church, how are you a pastor? I don't know anything about him. I can't tell you if he is or not, because this is there's just not enough information to discern where his ministry is. If it's a social media ministry, then that right there is the example of all of the things that we've been talking about on this show today. And, you know, his motto is Jesus plus nothing. But it's like, if you are relying on your own interpretation, then you are easily going to fall into heresy. If you rely on your own perspective, you are going to have severe problems, significantly severe problems. If you do not take into consideration the things that, you know, have come before us, whether it's the past theologians, if you have no doctrinal holdings, if you don't adhere to the creeds of the church and you don't recognize the church councils, if you don't look at, you know, the apostles and the early apostolic church and the early church father age and the and any of that kind of content, you are going to run into significant problems. So that's my only concern. I can't decipher whether he is a pastor in a church with no formal education. I don't see any, you know, seminary training. I don't have any resources to support anything that would, for me, lead me to think he's a competent and qualified preacher and or teacher of the gospels. But yet he's using a platform to teach people things. These are exactly what I'm talking about. They are very concerning. It is a problem on social media that if you have a mic, you have a camera, you have a smartphone, you can have anything that you want. You can be a content producer for anything. You can be fashion content. You can do fitness content. That's the big thing. You can do, religious content. You can do all of these things, and you never have to be qualified to do it. How many people do you see in the fitness world that don't have trainer certificates and training degrees or nutrition degrees, and yet they're telling you how to eat and train? There's a lot of them. How many people in the Christian bubble tell you how Christians should be without having a degree or any formal training? A lot of them. So we have to be very cognizant and discernful when dealing with these pages. And I, you know, like I said, this person, he's followed me for a long time. Every day he shares me this page of this guy being live. This guy goes live every day. And I just, you know, never thought anything of it, but I just so happened to click on it right after I got done recording this. And I just started looking through his stuff, and I'm like, I cannot see anything here. I cannot qualify him to be a teacher when he rejects using any extra source other than his own interpretation. That, to me, is a very concerning function there. So anyway, we'll be back Friday with more Olivet Discourse discussion on Matthew 24. Saturday's show is the Bible in the Year, week 10. And we'll be back next week to discuss the dangers of X, formerly known as Twitter. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We're continuing to pump out new episodes every week. I hope you have a great time. God bless. We'll see you all later.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited-edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.